Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent, documentary, and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Fashion revolutionary Beth Ann Hardison looks back on her journey as a pioneering Black model, modeling agent, and activist, shining a light on an untold chapter in the fight for racial diversity. From walking runway shows alongside Iman to discovering supermodels like Tyson Beckford and mentoring the icons like Naomi Campbell, Hardison has been the epicenter of a major representational shift in fashion. We're joined today by the co-directors of this terrific documentary film called Invisible Beauty, and that would be Beth Ann Hardison and Frederick Cheng. To both of you, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for the film and for the work that you've done, Beth Ann, in your life, not only in fashion, but so many other ways. So it's an honor to be able to talk to you about some of it. In terms of how the documentary came about, whose idea was it to move forward with this as a film project?
Well, I had been working on a film before that was like an expose on the fashion industry, and it told a story through three girls, and it was called Invisible Beauty. The film sat dormant for a bit of time. I had met Frederick in 2014, and he was the one that they had chosen for CFDA to shoot a 3-minute film for me for the presentation at the awards. So we met then, and in time, in talking with him over a period of a couple of years, I knew that eventually I had to let this other film go. And people had been saying to me, yeah, that's a great idea what you're doing, but you know, somebody should do a film on you, which I thought, nah, there's nothing to do about me. And then talking to Frederick, I mean, when I needed really to really figure out what was I gonna do, and I needed to go past this other film. We both talked about it. He always saw it as that too, me being that person. The film should be focused on me. And that's how we got it going. And he asked it, yes, if I'll come and do it. I want to do it, but I need you to come on as a co-director. And if you do that, then let's do it. So that's how it started.
Yeah, well said.
Well, Frederick, in terms of just telling her story, there's a bit of a device that you use at the beginning of the film, where you, in some manner of speaking, lay out the outline of the film. I love the way that you introduce us, not only to Beth Ann and her career, but the way you essentially showcase where we're going to be going with much of the film. Thought it was very clever and wonderful way to get us into the story.
Thank you. I think the so much of the film was about the process of memory and someone like Beth Ann, who's very active to this day, and who doesn't take the time to look back. She's too much in the action, too much to do. The film and the book also, in the sense that Beth Ann was starting to write, were an opportunity to sort of take stock. And we thought about a different way maybe to open the film, which would be to actually bring the audience into that process of collaboration and show flashes of Beth Ann's life and discuss among ourselves between co-directors, like how the film should start and throw in some ideas. I think for me, it was something that was important just to let Beth Ann lead me into how to tell her story. So that conversation happened in real life. And I was like, well, let's try it. And then, you know, we sort of liked it and it made the film a little different. And I think that's what we were looking for.
The opportunity, Beth Ann, to explore your background, your early years, I thought was a fascinating insight into so much of your life. And one of the things that we don't really talk about much anymore, but was that period of time in the 60s when busing, moving students, kids around to different schools. And that's an important part of your history and your life story. Let's talk a little bit about that and how it impacted you.
I didn't know they were busing us. I just knew that this gentleman, I had already decided I was going to go to a school in Manhattan that was called Performing Arts at the time. And it was a hard school to get into because you had to audition. But this gentleman came in, a white guy came into our school. My school was in Bedford-Stuyvesant, all Black community. And he, in the auditorium, presented the school that was sort of new. It was like 3 years old. And he did it with, slides. And I liked the way he was dressed. I liked double pleated pants. I noticed everything. Double pleated pants. And he was a nice looking youngish white guy. And I thought to myself, looking at the school, and it was shaped in a banjo, and I thought that was unique. And it was like taking me on a journey, I thought. So I went home and told my mother, okay, that's it. I'm not going to that other school. I'm going to this school. She said, but you worked so hard to get the other one. I said, yeah, but I'm going to go there. And it really did change my life. I mean, I don't know if it changed my life, but I started living my life, I should say better. I started living my life because it gave me a lot of opportunities. And I really took it on. I mean, I really appreciate it. It was like traveling, going somewhere else in a whole nother neighborhood and, meeting other kind of kids that didn't look like you and culturally were different. I had one very good friend his name was Fred, and he always wore yarmulke, and I just used to love his look, his style. He was redhead with freckles. So many things, and they just got behind me because I have my personality. So I really was very, very grateful to that. And I learned only many years later, when I was fully more of an adult, that an Italian girlfriend of mine called me and told me, she said, did you realize that that's what was happening, that you were bussed into our school? That's the first time I knew.
Oh, wow. Well, and what sets in motion in terms of your life and the story in the film is that your sense of seeing opportunity and moving forward into that space and making the best of it. And I think, I mean, it feels like that has served you so well throughout your life, but it feels like this could be an important foundational part of why you have, you are the person that you are.
I think that I could give a little bit credence of saying, yes, I think you're right on that. I think it gave you a great deal of confidence. You don't know it at the time because you're not looking for confidence because you're confident. I was always confident as a kid. I was, ran track at 9 years old. I gang fighted a little bit. I was a well-known child tap dancer. I always had confidence. But when you start going into a whole nother world, and it really does give you an extra boost, I think. And that's when I'm writing, that's when I realized that I probably was already successful by the time I was 12.
Yeah. And in terms of influences on your life, I do want to talk a little bit about your father and the influence that he had on your life.
He was wise enough to say, you have to come because, he had a sense of responsibility. He knew that children's years of being sort of like put together in who they are, it happens in 9, 10, 11, 12. He was already getting to 12 and he needed bring me to live with him, to share things with me that my mother and my grandmother couldn't. I think that was really great on his part. And I think that he just taught me a lot of things. And he was so ahead of the game. And I tell people, well, my father was juicing back in the day. They said, I think he was doing juice. He juiced. What was that, the 50s or 60s? Yeah. And he also was someone who decided to be vegan at one point. Oh, boy, that was a horrible experience. Because back then, being a vegan and eating that food was awful. And he just gave up. He tried it for 4 days. He said, okay, we're back to eating regular food. But he said many great things about him. He was very modern and very cool in many ways. He let me choices of things to read. He had me read the Torah. He had me read the Hadith of the Islamic culture book. And he just was very smart about a lot of things. Kept me aware of politics. So I think it does help to layer you, even though you don't think it is at the time.
Also, one last thing, Malcolm X is mentioned in the film, a tremendously influential person. And do I have this right? Did your father know him? Did I get that right?
Yes, you're right. He knew him. He knew him because for a couple of reasons, but mostly because when Elijah Muhammad decided to come, that was the Nation of Islam, Fruit of Islam, was going to come into New York. My father was an imam, so he needed to contact him. And then once he met Malcolm, he felt certain things about Malcolm, but Malcolm came to seek his counsel and learned a few things more about the point of religion so that he wanted to go to Mecca. And my father said, you're not going to be able to do that based on the fact that you're speaking, you're preaching hate in a way. But eventually those things turned around and Malcolm came around again and started to get closer to my father. and used his counsel to help him because he was beginning to change his ways. So I met him once or twice when he came to the house, and I got to know Betty after he passed away, or passed away, was killed. I got to know Betty, his wife, and then after that, I got to know the girls. It was so interesting how our lives, and this just happened. It wasn't like set up. It just happened.
It's amazing. I just want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with the co-directors, Beth Ann Hardison and Frederick Chang. They are the co-directors of a documentary film called Invisible Beauty. It is coming out in New York on September 15th. It'll be out here in Los Angeles, I believe, on the 22nd, the following Friday here in Los Angeles. So be looking for this. It is a terrific documentary film about the life and times of the co-director, Beth Ann Hardison, and so much more. It's about fashion. And I want to, Frederick, I want to talk to you because in your past filmography, you've done been a part of documentaries about fashion industry. So you know it well. You also, I'm sure, understand the power and influence that fashion has, as well as Beth Ann, I'm sure, does too. But in terms of just the economic power of fashion, but also the cultural and social impact of fashion, in terms of this documentary film, you're showing a very different side of fashion. And let's talk a little bit about where this film goes that's different than, let's say, Dior and I or Diane Freeland.
Yes. I mean, I think, I don't know if I know fashion. I'm very much an outsider looking in. And, you know, I'm a filmmaker first and foremost. I don't really, I'm not part of the fashion world like Beth Ann is. But yeah, for me, it's all about the human stories. And, you know, this was something that captivated me, meaning Beth Ann and her personality, her story, the story she was telling and how she was telling it was immediately captivating for me when I first met her. And I thought that was a way to tell a different story about the fashion world that hadn't been told before. And, you know, like I was discovering a lot of things, like, you know, when Beth Ann was having her town hall meetings, I didn't know about all this. Actually, when Beth Ann was sending out letters to call out the different designers who weren't using any models of color, you know, I was making a film about Dior. There weren't many Black models in that show, or none that I can remember. So, you know, for me, it's a growing process. And with each film, you discover a new facet, and hopefully you get more informed, more educated about what's happening. And, you know, that's why I enjoyed so much making this film in collaboration with Beth Ann.
You know, as people say, oftentimes they think, oh my God, I don't know nothing about fashion. And if they see the title, they think it's about a model or something about beauty. But it's really basically, and I say it oftentimes, and I want to say it now, is that it's not really a fashion film, even though it's fashion related. It has so many other layers to it. And I think that it's important that people, that's what I like about so many people who knew me and know me so well, came to see the film at different times, and they just were so shocked by the things they didn't know.
Yeah, and absolutely, and that's the point I was trying to make with Frederick, in the sense that fashion influenced so much of our culture and our understanding of culture, and imagery impacts how we perceive things in the world. And this is where your career as a model, and as later on as a businesswoman who ran her own agency, makes this film so powerful, because you have given yourself, through your own hard work, agency, and you have given and passed it along to so many others. And I think that's an important thing for us to be talking about. I don't think I've given it the due that I should have, but you have been a remarkable part of essentially this transition. Hopefully will continue in the fashion industry.
Very wonderfully said. Thank you so much for that.
Well, congratulations on all of your work, not only as a businesswoman, as I just said, but also as a mentor to so many other people. And that comes across so well in this film. And I'm so grateful that as the film progresses, we also get to see you aside from that, aside from the public persona, as a person outside of all of that. And I think Frederick and you did a wonderful job of framing how you are as a person, as also as an activist and so many other things in the film. So it was a wonderful part of the film for me.
Thank you so much to hear that. It's been wonderful to hear so many people really, really appreciate deeply the film.
Well, I hope you continue to do the work that you have embarked upon and continue to push the boundaries and certainly perceptions, not only in the world of fashion, but otherwise. So just a wonderful work here with Invisible Beauty, but also to both of you. You've done a wonderful job of making this story more visible. And I don't think you can look at fashion, if you've seen this film and really paid attention, you can look at fashion the same way that you would have otherwise. So all the best. Yes, all the best moving forward. Again, the film is called Invisible Beauty, and we've been speaking with the co-directors, Beth Ann Hardison and Frederick Chang. Again, the film comes out on September 15th in New York, as well as here in Los Angeles the following Friday on the 22nd. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.